Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm glad to be able to stand here today in the absence of Brother Billy and share a word that I believe the Lord has given me. Now, this book's not full, so y'all don't get nervous, okay, that I'm going to preach on anyhow. It is full, but it's not the message and title of every page this morning is not on here, but that's been mentioned to me one time this morning, how long I was going to preach this morning. I said, well, as long as the Holy Spirit leads me. It could be 15 minutes. It could be an hour or two. I don't know. I just don't know at this point right now because I try to be obedient to what the Lord says. I prayed about this message in the last few weeks that God would give me something. And last night he turned me in another direction. And then I prayed some more and he turned me back to where I'm at this morning. And in Brother Barry's Sunday school class this morning, he confirmed in my heart that this is the message I should speak this morning. And I do appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Appreciate you being here. And I ask you to be praying for me as we begin this message this morning. There's something I want to read to you to start with. Someone sent me this in an email some time ago. And I ran across it in my Bible. I hadn't seen it in a while, but I ran across it last night. I just thought I'd share it with you this morning. It talks about a buzzard. It says, if you put a buzzard in a pen that is 6 feet by 8 feet and is entirely open at the top, the bird, in spite of its ability to fly, will be an absolute prisoner. The reason is that a buzzard always begins a flight from the ground with a run of 10 to 12 feet. Without space to run, as is its habit, it will even attempt to fly, but will remain a prisoner for life in a small jail. And then it went on to say, it says, talks about a bat. Well, the ordinary bat that flies around at night, a remarkable nimble creature in the air, can not take off from a level place. If it's a place on the floor or flat ground, all it can do is just shuffle about helplessly and no doubt painfully until it reaches some slight elevation from which it can throw itself into the air. Then at once it takes off into flight. And the last one it mentions is a bumblebee. Yeah, a bumblebee, if you drop a bumblebee into an opal thimble, he'll be there until he dies, unless he is taken out. It never sees the means of escape at the top, but persists in trying to find some way out through the sides near the bottom. It will seek a way where none exist until it completely destroys itself. Now, you may ask, why would I mention to you about a buzzard and a bat and a bee this morning? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it says this, the next item is people. It says, in many ways, there are lots of people like the buzzard, the bat, and the bumblebee. They are struggling about with all their problems and frustrations, not ever realizing that all they have to do is look up. I thought that was pretty interesting. Because at times we try to take things into our own hands, don't we? I do. Let me say I do. Instead of waiting on God or seeking God, trying to determine what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, and if I can do it, instead of seeking Him and looking to Him for His direction. The older I get, I think I become wiser in some ways because of what He shows me through His Word and in my fellowship with Him. The Bible says, when I was a young person, I thought as a young person, but as an old person, I think much as an older person should because of wisdom and experience and what God showed me in His Word. I want to speak to you this morning from John chapter 3, and we'll read the first 12 verses of John chapter 3. But this has to do with a topic this morning that's entitled The Necessity of the New Birth. The Necessity of the New Birth. If you will, look at John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man that ascendeth up to the Father, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. I'll stop the reading there at this point. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this day. I do thank you for this time that you have given us to be together. God, I pray for my pastor as he's away. I ask your blessings upon him and the ministries that he will be speaking in. And God, I ask you to bless and move there. But God, I ask you to be in the midst of this service this morning. God, I ask you to be here, not because of me, but because of who you are. God, how that you are awesome and mighty God, how you love us, how you have bestowed upon us the blessings of life eternal through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for that today. We give you the praise and the glory. God, we understand that without the birth, being born again, there is no hope for us. But God, I pray today that you'll use this message for your glory, that the Savior will be exalted. And God, if there's one here this morning that's not saved, God, I pray the day will be the day of salvation for that individual. God, pour out your Spirit this morning. Give me liberty. God, I'll give you the praise and the glory for what you accomplish. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus I pray this morning. Amen. Now, I want to look at four things this morning in reference to this text. I want us to look at the credentials of Nicodemus, the confession of Nicodemus, the command to Nicodemus, and then also the confusion of Nicodemus. And when you look at this scripture, Jesus explains here briefly to Nicodemus the plan of salvation. He explains to this man who came to visit him by night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And being a Pharisee, he was different than the ordinary Jew. The credentials of Nicodemus titled him as being a Pharisee. He was a Jew and he was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. He was a Pharisee they were noted for a strict observance of the rites and ceremonies of the Mosaic law. They were pharisaical, but they were also outwardly, they were like that, but inwardly they were just religious. It was all about them in most cases. In being a Sanhedrin, he was a member of the council. It's a 71 member consisted of Jews, of Pharisees, that they had the controlling factor of the religious and civil and criminal jurisdiction over the Jews at this particular time. But he was a man who came to see Christ by night. He was a master ruler of Israel. He was a well-educated man. He had probably rubbed elbows with some of the elite people during his time here in Jerusalem. He was one of those that when he walked down the street, people would look at him with a different attitude and a different type of a mindset because he was a Pharisee. He was one of those that had probably, he had wealth. He was well educated. He was one of those that he knew the first five books of the Bible. He had memorized them and he could quote them because of his memory that he had learned while he was in getting education and so forth. You could probably say that if that time that he was a graduate of the University of Jerusalem, he was probably one of the elitist men of his time or among the elitist men of his time. He traveled in elite circles. He was a man of authority and scholar. And he comes to Christ by night. So we see the credentials of Nicodemus. We see his standing. We see who he was. He was a man of position. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of connection. He had a desiring heart. And that desiring heart led him to Jesus. He also had confusion. Or confession, the confession of Nicodemus, let me say. He acknowledges that Jesus is from God in verse 2 because of his miracles. He came to Jesus by night, maybe because of fear of the Jews, maybe because of he was too busy during the day. I don't know. Maybe he didn't want anybody to see him. But he came anyhow. He chose to come by night to see Jesus. He came to him. He didn't want maybe to be criticized if someone saw him with Jesus. So he came by night. But regardless of the reason, he did seek Jesus out. And he sought him out to have an in-depth interview with him about the things he saw Jesus do. These things were spiritual. They were concerning to him. They were of interest to him. In studying Nicodemus coming to Jesus, we can learn that we should never be ashamed to gain wisdom and knowledge when it comes to spiritual things. We can understand from Nicodemus that the Bible tells us also from what Nicodemus' desire was, and the Bible tells us in Proverbs, and he was familiar with these verses, possibly. He says, the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions." Now, as I studied this and I thought about this, the fear of the Lord, that's reverential awe. It means submission to the Lord and His revelation. So what happens when you're afraid of something? If you have the fear of the Lord, and Nicodemus didn't have that fear because he didn't recognize him as the Lord. But if you and I have the fear of something, if we have the fear of the Lord or we have the fear of something, what does that mean? It either means we run to it and submit ourselves to it, or we run away from it. You see, the fear of the Lord is the controlling principle of wisdom. If I have wisdom in God's Word, it is the fear of the Lord that drives me to that because of who He is. Because if I understand who He is, that He is an awesome and mighty God, that He is the creator of all things, then I have a certain reverence for Him that I have for nobody else. Nicodemus saw something about this man that was different than other Pharisees that he rubbed elbows with or other people that he had relationships with. The fear of the Lord, submission to Him, is spoken here in fear in Proverbs chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the controlling principle of wisdom. He accepted Jesus, Nicodemus, because he was granted of him in an opinion of what he saw, the evidence of his miracles. Many believers still today believe that Christ was a great person. Even the Muslim religion believes that he was a great prophet. But they don't see him for who he really is. They don't understand who he really is because they've not put their faith and trust in him through saving grace. Nicodemus saw that he was a person who committed great miracles, who done things that no other man had ever done before. Nicodemus had never seen these things before. So we see his confusion somewhat. But as we go down to verse 3, we see that Jesus begins talking to Nicodemus and he gives him a command. Jesus said unto him, "You must be born again." Jesus saw the state of Nicodemus' soul, just as he knows the state of my and your soul today. He knows where we are in our relationship with a holy and righteous God. He knows if we have lip service instead of heart service. He knows if we don't even have any service whatsoever. He knows the state of our soul. No matter how gifted, moral, or refined, the natural person is absolutely blind to spiritual truth and cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And also cannot be obedient to what God's Word says. Because if that person is not the Spirit of God inside of them, we have nothing to drive us, to lead us, or to dictate to us the things of God. You see, we must have a new birth. All persons must have two births, one physical and one spiritual, one of the body and the other of the soul. Without the first one, the physical birth, we can't enjoy the things of this earth. We can't enjoy what God has created. We can't understand or see the pleasure in the sea and the ocean for the first time, or going to the mountains, or even the trees and the creeks and the land and the animals that God has created. Without that first physical birth, we can't understand. We can't see those things that God has created. And the same is true without the spiritual birth. Without the spiritual birth, we cannot see the things that God has provided for us and has built for us in a place called heaven. We can't even enjoy the spiritual things on this earth that He has given to us through His Word and our friendship and our fellowship to one another unless we've had that second birth. So it's all tied together. There has to be a physical birth, but there has to be a second birth also, a spiritual birth. One that is born from above. You see, there is an absolute necessity that the soul should be brought out of the state of darkness and sin through the light and power of the grace of Christ, that we might be able to see, to discern the glories and the excellencies of His kingdom and who Christ is and what He has done for humanity. When we have received that and we can understand that, then He has prepared us better to be able to understand the things He has prepared in heaven for us that we will see in the hereafter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, there has to be a decisive break with the old at the moment of salvation. And if you're saved today, there was a break that you turned from that old nature into a new nature that God gave you. You see, the new birth is not a reformation of the old nature, but it's a creative act of the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. It helps me and you to see who God is, what Christ has done, and the reason that Christ did it was because He first loved us. It's not what I've done, it's all what He's done. When we stand before Him one day and if we've earned crowns on this side of heaven, we'll lay those crowns at His feet because He's worthy to receive them, because it's because of Him that we have a crown, not because of myself. I am unworthy to receive any gift of that nature. Even though I will have it for a moment, I will be willingly and gracefully giving it back to my Lord and Savior because it's by His hand that I have received it. It's because of Him, you see. It's all because of Him. It's because of His grace, the creative act of the Holy Ghost inside of me. The necessity of the new birth grows out of man's inability to see and understand spiritual things. Before I was saved at the age of 11 years old, I couldn't understand spiritual things. Oh, I sat in church for a long time. I listened to preaching. And still, after I got saved, I didn't understand completely the things of God as His Word teaches. It took studying. It took being under the teaching of the Word of God to be able to understand what God's Word has to say, to have a greater relationship with Him and a walk with Him through the years as I continue to grow. And the same is true for you today. The new birth brings about the renewing of the soul in righteousness and holiness. And heaven is a place of holiness, and only those things that are holy will enter there. That's why there has to be a new birth. That's why there is a necessity of a new birth. If you're here this morning and you're not born again, then you must be born again to be able to see what God has created for those that He loves here on this earth in the place called heaven. There is a necessity of the new birth. The condition of the new birth is faith in Christ, crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. There is no back door to heaven. There is no other way to heaven. What the world may say doesn't matter anymore. It's "thus saith the Lord" is all that matters anymore. And it should be important to you and I as Christians, as God-fearing Christians that have been born again by the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter what Oprah might say or what the government might say. It should matter what God's Word says, and we stand upon that Word with all the power of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us to take a stand for we might see people saved. Listen, we can't change this world by laws and supreme justice. The only way the world can be changed is one person at a time through the grace of God, being saved by the Spirit of God, that this world can be saved. The condition of the new birth is by faith. Through the new birth, the believer takes on a new nature. It's a divine nature. It is an example of Christ. Every time since I've been saved, and more so the older I get, when I do something that's not right with God, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart immediately. And I have to ask the Lord right then to forgive me. And I certainly, I do it. I raise my hand. I sin. I'm sorry. I just do sometimes. My wife will tell you that. Sometimes I'm not too good to her once in a while. But I do, because I still have an old nature in me. But you see, it's that new nature that keeps me in line. It's that new nature that brings me back to the place in that old building over yonder when I was 11 years old and the Lord came to my heart and He showed me where I was. You see, it's the Holy Spirit of God, that new birth that I received, that helps me and checks me in line to where I can serve Him. It's the Holy Spirit of God that the other Sunday when I preached in Raleigh, that young lady got saved that morning. It wasn't because of me, but it's because of Him. You see, I am indebted to Him. I am bought with a price. He paid that price for me. He paid that price for you. We shouldn't be laxy-daisy about that. We should be all for God in everything that we do, because there's a necessity of today. There is an hour of today that has to be approached, that we need to approach it with the power and the grace of God, that we need to have a better understanding of spiritual things. You see, Nicodemus was walking by sight, not by faith. But you see, we're born again. We should walk by sight, by the things of God, by faith, not by sight also. Nicodemus had his understanding was physical. He couldn't understand what Christ was saying. How can I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? You see, he was thinking on the physical. He didn't understand that. The statement Jesus made to him is, you must be born again. It was a personal demand. But it even goes beyond that. It's a worldly demand, that all the world might be saved, that you and I would be saved, that if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's a demand to you. It's a universal demand, because the whole world needs to be born again. You see, the necessity lies in the inadequacy of the flesh. He tells us that in verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, we have a fleshly body still. Man, as he is born into this world, lives his life apart from God's grace. Flesh can only reproduce itself as flesh. Look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, so then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, then you are it is the flesh that you're living in, and you can't please God. We must have a nature change spiritually. He says in verse 9, he said, they're none of his. Any who lack the Spirit are unsaved. The Holy Spirit abides in all who are born again. It came inside of us the moment that we got saved. It came inside of us. But he says, if you don't have that, you're not born again. He said in verse 10, the body is dead. It's still mortal, and it's a subject not only to death, but also the temptations of sin. The Spirit is like anticipating the hope of the resurrection, though. The Spirit produces spirit. It's a life born, nurtured, and matured by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost cleanses us and refreshes us and purifies the soul. The spiritual generation is necessary to prepare the soul for a holy and spiritual kingdom. You must be born again. You must be born again. The spiritual regeneration is necessary to prepare the soul for a holy and spiritual kingdom. You see, I say that twice because it's important we understand that. Without the regeneration of the Spirit, without the rebirth that takes place, we can't enjoy the things of God that he's prepared for us. You can't see the Spirit. As he says here in verse 8, we can't see the Spirit, but the Spirit works. We can see the results. In James chapter 2, in verse 18, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, what are we doing for Christ? If we're born again, can the world see Christ in our life? Do they see the works of Christ in our life? Do they see those examples of Christ? The wind blows. We hear the sound of the wind. We see the results of the wind on the trees. We feel the results of the wind upon our face. But we don't know where it came from. We don't know where it's going. He compares that to the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit comes from God. The only way people can know Christ is in our lives is because of what they see. It's an example of Him. You see, the sole agent in the new birth is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It convicts our hearts of our sin. It helps us see our lost condition. And either after we're saved, because of its indwelling presence in our life, it helps us see when we step outside of the righteousness of Christ. Now, Jesus in verse 10, he rebuked Nicodemus to a little bit. Because he asked him, he says, how can these things be? Could it be that a master of Israel did not know the things about the spiritual truths of which Jesus was speaking of? A Sanhedrin, one that was supposed to stand before the Jews and judge them in religious and civil matters, couldn't understand spiritual truths. He couldn't understand what Christ was talking about, a spiritual kingdom. A man who had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. You see, he was not willing to believe unless he could comprehend, unless he could understand intellectual what Christ was talking about, unless he could measure of what Christ was talking about. He was not willing to believe unless he could comprehend. And at times this is the case with many that profess to believe because they comprehend. There's not a person on the face of this earth that can fully comprehend and understand God. We have His Word, and no doubt we can understand to a certain degree, but when it comes to understanding fully, completely, 100% comprehend the things of God, I don't think we can, because we don't know it all. In fact, He's not revealed it all. It's here, but He's not revealed it all as of yet. We can't comprehend. You know, Isaac Newton came up with the theory of relativity. And that statement is, the laws of physics are the same for all non-accelerating observers, and he showed that the speed of light within a vacuum is the same no matter the speed of which an observer travels. And that's the theory of relativity. I've been told there's only 12 people that really understand that. I don't know. I've never met them. I don't know. 12 people. We as Christians cannot comprehend 100% everything of God. Nicodemus could not comprehend what Christ was saying because of his intellectual learning and because of his physical standing in the position he had in religion. Did not grant that to him. It was only by the Spirit of God that it came. Nicodemus was ignorant of the nature of the new birth. By the illustration of new birth using earthly things, he still did not believe. Christ said, then if I tell you of heavenly things, then how are you going to believe those? You don't believe the earthly things that I tell you. So what does it require to be born again? Birth is the beginning of life. To be born again is the beginning anew. Patching the old building up cannot do it. You must begin with a new foundation. Secondly, we must have a new nature, new principles, new affections, new aims. We are not aiming at the things of this world. We're aiming at things above. That is our desire. That's what we look toward. We must be born again from above. We must be born anew. By our first birth, we are corrupt. Scripture says that we were shapen in iniquity. And we are in sin. So therefore, we must have a second birth from above to be able to receive the things of God that He's promised. The new birth is not of human origin. Rather, it's a spiritual and supernatural. It is from heaven to be born to a divine and heavenly life. It's a life of communion with God. It is to partake of the divine nature and bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the new birth is. That's the reason why it's a necessity. The soul, this old nature that we have is still a spiritual substance. But it's so wedded to the flesh, so captivated by the will of the flesh, so in love with the delights of the flesh, so employed by making provisions for the flesh, that it is mostly called flesh. It's carnal. And what communion can there be between God, who is a spirit, and a soul in this condition? It's corrupt. And corruption is bred into the bones with us. And therefore, we cannot have a new nature until we are born again by the grace of God. You could be born 100 times if it was possible, the physical birth, and it wouldn't make any difference. It wouldn't make any difference because the things born of the flesh is flesh. The clean thing, a clean thing cannot be brought out of an unclean thing. Man is a sinner by act. Man is a sinner by nature. Man is a sinner by imputation. So the state of man is under sin. It's under sin. But thank God, because of His Son Christ, we have an out. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." Verse 23 in chapter 3 of Romans says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The fool hath said. But Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But, that next verse, thought I'd highlight that for you a little bit. But, Barry talked about that in Sunday school this morning. B-U-T. When God says but, you better pay attention. B-U-T, better understand truth. That's what he's talking about right here. He says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners..." Hallelujah. Christ died for us. Amen. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the cross is the antidote for the sting of sin in my life and your life. There is a necessity of the new birth. Without the new birth, you cannot enjoy the pleasures of heaven. Without the new birth, you can't enjoy the pleasures of fellowship with Christ here upon this earth. The cross is the antidote for the sting of sin. The cross of Christ is not something optional that can be bypassed if chosen to do so. Because there's only two places that one goes for eternity. That's either heaven or hell. It is the antidote of sin. It's a divine ordained necessity by God. It's a command that He gave to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. And it's true today for our world. Of necessity, a person first must exercise faith in Christ. You see, to trust Christ is to surrender your life to Him. As Daddy used to say, lock, stock, and barrel. I wished I had done that at an earlier age. So many times I think about that. But then I remember where Scripture talks about we don't need to look back. We need to look forward. We need to look what God's doing now. I can't change the past, but I can be used in the future. Though the coming of Christ involved judgment, the direct purpose of that coming rested on the divine love. It was not condemnation, but it was salvation. Salvation does not come automatically. It's not through somebody else. It's not because of grandma, grandpa, or daddy, or mama. It's because of Christ. Through and by Him. We must become related to Christ through faith in Him. Because salvation through Him is a reality. He says He is the author and finisher of our faith. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith. Faith in Him. Galatians chapter 2. Look with me there just a moment. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, God doesn't honor wisdom nor personality. He honors faith. Because faith honors God. God goes wherever faith puts Him. What we can be in union with Christ is one thing, but what we are is quite another. You see, you must be born again. There is a necessity of the new birth. The object of faith is the all-important matter. Faith is merely the instrument that secures Christ and His merit. Charles Spurgeon once said, it's not thy hold on Christ that saves thee, it is Christ. It is not thy joy that saves thee, it is Christ. It is not thy faith in Christ that saves thee, though that be the instrument, it is Christ's blood and merit that saves you. You see, there is a necessity of the new birth this morning. Have you received that? Are you born again this morning? Because what I've talked about this morning through what God's given me, there is no back door to heaven except through Christ. It's the soul surrender to Him in faith through saving grace. It's all about Him. Are you born again this morning? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Is He first in your life? Because that's what He tells us here. We don't want to be like Nicodemus. Now we find later on in John chapter 9, Nicodemus was one that came with Joseph Arimathea that came and got the body of Jesus down. He was one that was with Him, anointed with oil and buried Him. We know later on that Jesus did see things differently. He was born again. But it took that spiritual change in his life for that to happen. Let's all stand this morning as we sing a hymn. I want every eye closed, every head bowed. I don't know where you stand this morning. Only you and the Lord know where you stand. But my prayer to you this morning and my prayer before the holy and righteous God, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you must be born again. You must be born again. There is no second way. There is no other way. It's only through and by Him. I ask you this morning, as we begin to sing a song, I ask you to just close your eyes. I want you to think upon the words that's been spoken this morning. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I don't want to embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you and embarrass you in any way. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, just lift up your hand that I might pray with you. Is there one in the building anywhere this morning? Is there one anywhere that would say with an honest heart before the Lord, I'm not born again. I don't know you as Lord and Savior of my life. Is there one in the building this morning? Anywhere. If you're here this morning and you don't have a right relationship with a holy and righteous God or a fellowship, you're not close to Him, you're not where you would like to be or where you think He wants you to be, now is the day to make that change. Surrender all your heart to Him and all your life to Him. There'll be no greater choice that you'll ever make that will impact you as that will impact you. This morning, I ask you to come. As we sing this song, I ask you to come this morning.